Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. You've gotten more Browns news than you probably asked for on a Tuesday in the middle of January. It just keeps coming. It won't stop. It is not going to go away anytime soon. It feels like moves are just going to continue to be made and news will continue to drop. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. Taking you up until 11 o'clock, and boy, do we have some good stuff. The Browns hiring offensive coordinator Tommy Rees. They promote him from the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator onto your offensive coordinator, and it's a move that I feel torn about because the Browns had a lot more go wrong than right last year. Right, obviously. I mean, you end the season 3-14. I mean, we've been laying that out for the fact of, what, several weeks at this point. It feels like it's how every show starts. You look at the team, well, they're down, and here are the Browns making a move, trying not. But offensively, especially, the team clearly had their struggles. And there's a reason Ken Dorsey's no longer with the team, and the offensive coordinator job was out there to begin with. Right? The offense was plain bad. They just were not good. You had the entire stretch with Deshaun where you couldn't throw for 200 yards. You couldn't score 20 points. Even after Jameis came in, it was awful. Throwing the football, awful. Running the football, also abysmal. There was nothing there. You struggled at every aspect of the game on the offensive side of the ball. I was just looking at the stats earlier. Patrick Mahomes is considering to be having a down year. Okay, throwing for just shy of 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 picks. Browns quarterbacks this year threw for 3,500 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 23 interceptions. So like in a Patrick Mahomes down year where you might question whether or not the Chiefs are going to be in early bounce, the Browns quarterbacks were 400 yards short, 7 touchdowns short with an additional 12 interceptions. If that doesn't show you what kind of situation you're in, then I don't know what will. In my eyes, the poor play out of the offense, though, includes the tight end play, which obviously was coached up by Tommy Rees. Right? He was in charge of taking David Njoku, who had, 6 touchdowns and over 800 yards, close to 900 yards in 2023. It was the emergence of David Njoku. He looked like he was a freight train running downhill. And in this year, a large regression. Obviously dealt with a little bit of injury, but he goes for 500 yards, still finds the end zone a few times, but it was definitely a step back for David Njoku, which, again, poor offense to be is to some degree expected. But if you're going to hire the tight ends coach after a 3-14 season where the position group that he was in charge of didn't really take massive leaps forward, right? I don't think any of us were looking at Jordan Akins thinking, oh, wow, who would have expected him to play that well? No, it was poor play all around the room, poor play all around the offense, and now you're going back into the well. Right, and this isn't a knock at Tommy Rees. He's had a good young career so far, age of 32. I mean, Nick Saban trusted him to run the offense and handle offense coordinator duties at Alabama. He was trusted by Brian Kelly before that at Notre Dame. It's not a personal knock at Tommy Rees, because I think the guy could probably be a good offense coordinator. A lot of people saying that he has a bright future in the NFL. That's all fine. But I do have my concerns when you go internal hire after going 3-14. Right? That should be a concern to Browns fans. 3-14 and then going back to the well, the guys who are already here. What do you think is going to change in that aspect? When you have a team with no success and you're in need of an attitude change, you go back into what was already not working. Right? The Browns already have seen the struggles. And it's just not happening. And you're going right back to the guy who was there through it all. And it's not that the Browns, when I say attitude change, have an outwards bad attitude. When you talk to the guys or hear the guys talk on the team, it's not that they are up in arms and, you know, just basically bashing the team. They're not George Pickens, in short. Okay, saying that you have no optimism in the team going forward. There's nothing like that. But when I say bad attitude, it's more of, you have to get your attitude changed to a back-to-business mindset. And once again, make winning important. The Browns last year were a team that it felt like just kept going along with every single loss. And a lot of players seem unbothered. And I'm not saying that they were, but the perception around it was that these guys were joking around in the locker room, acting a lot more like they were 14-3 than they were 3-14. The vibes were still good day to day, which you can take as a positive or a negative, but at some point you have to get back to winning, and winning has to trump all, and that has to be the mindset in the building. Right now you have Tommy Rees coming back in a situation where, again, you keep him in there, and it feels like it's difficult to do that. It is difficult to inflict change of mentality when things begin to go wrong. Because why? When you already have the guys there who have seen the losing, right? You're bringing back players and you're bringing back the coach. It's a mental association. I've lost with this coach already. Right? If David Njoku's looking at the guy trying to run this entire offense and he's saying, yeah, he was the one in there coaching me up. And look, my season had a drop-off. So if the Browns were to go out there, and when they hit their first bit of adversity, whenever that comes in the season, the mentality is already built there for David Njoku to say, yeah, I've been in this spot already with this guy. I'm almost comfortable in this spot. We lose. He's there. That's sort of what I expect. And there's change that can come with that, but Tommy Rees has to be the one to sort of lay down the law and get the change to happen. How do you get change when from a guy who has already been there through the losing? Right? Again, like 90% of this locker room, just in my eyes, not bothered. It feels like something there needs to change. I don't need to see Rodney McLeod being thrown into a pool in celebration for his final game as a Cleveland Brown, for his final practice in the NFL, being tossed into the pool on a 3-14 season. Like, that's not Joe Bitonio. It is not a guy who has spent every single day waking in a Browns uniform trying to put this team on his back. It's Rodney McLeod, who's been here for 2 years. Right? Again, this positive mindset going with this team, just over and over again, sitting in scenarios where We might be having one of the most disastrous seasons on record for the Cleveland Browns. But hey, we're still going to go out there and we're still going to have a good time, right? We're still going to try to have a little bit of fun. Like, congratulations. That gets you through, like, football at age 14, at age 12. Well, you just got to go out there and have some fun. Like, I don't even think at 14 by that point. That was probably a misspeak by me. By then, it feels like you know the importance of winning. I don't know how this team got to the point of, hey, a terrible season, and we're just going to make the best of it. Because from what I know about athletes is elite competitors, and that's not supposed to be the case. Everything is supposed to be about winning. Right? When you're not winning, you're not supposed to be having fun. That is the competitive drive behind a professional athlete, and it wasn't what the Browns did last year. It was not the same mindset. So then I look at, what's the difference if you bring in an outsider then? Somebody who wasn't in the building last year. For instance, you interviewed Clint Kubiak. Not saying that I would have gone with him, just saying, what is the mental change there? And to me, it feels like an entire reset. Right? You bring in new faces, and it allows things to change, because you have no preconceived idea about Clint Kubiak if you're a Browns player who has never been coached by him. There's nothing there to say, hey, I've lost with this guy. No, it is a fresh face. You don't know what's going to change. And to me, after a losing season, you're less receptive to the coaching that you get. Which then may be drawing bigger questions about who's going to be in control of the Browns offense and how much of a role Tommy Rees actually plays within this thing. But I'm just not sure that I can be overly confident going in with Tommy Rees as my offensive coordinator with everything that has gone down between last year and then circling it back into this year. That's going to be the guy to change the mentality. If you're trying to turn 3-14 back into a contender, you're trying to convince me that you're doing that by reaching right back into the room that you already had there. The people that were in the building for 3-14, and those are going to be the guys to help you climb out of the depths. I just don't know how I could possibly be sold on that idea. That is what's going to be the change. That's what's going to make the difference. It is a 32-year-old offensive coordinator who coached a disappointing tight ends room last year. And it's not one-to-one, right? A positional coach, when his group performs bad, does not necessarily mean poor coaching. But if I'm looking on for a glimmer of hope, I'm looking for the Browns to fully make a change, I don't know how I can look at them and the hiring of Tommy Rees and say, that's what I expect to get it done. That's going to be the thing that completely changes it. So no, I'm not.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Confident, and I want to know if you are at 216-474-0092. Are you okay with the Browns making an internal hire at offensive coordinator? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, a lot of stuff coming up today. 7:40, we add Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe to the big board. 8 o'clock, we'll talk to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, about the latest around the Browns with Tommy Reese, with some things happening between the team and the city of Cleveland. 9 o'clock, as we always do, get a grip. And later as well, Tommy Reese and his OC could mean this guy really has a chance as a Browns quarterback. But again, 216-474-0092. Are you okay with the Browns making an internal hire at offensive coordinator? We'll get to your calls and a whole lot more. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on The Fan. Asking you at 216-474-0092, are you okay with the Browns making an internal hire at offensive coordinator? To me, going from 3-14 and then promoting a guy within the building does not exactly strike confidence into my veins. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. I'm trying to find a way to be excited for Tommy Reese. I thought it was a good name when he was brought into the building. But the more and more you just go down the road with it, it's like, you got to give me something. I have to be able to see where this thing goes and the route that we're going to take. And I can't be sold right now. I can't be sold. It's probably going to have to be a show me type of scenario. You're not going to be able to tell me anything that's going to make me feel good. But you're going to have to show me on the field next year that this offense is back. And even then, I don't know that Tommy Reese is the one getting credit, because it might just be a Kevin Stefanski show. Let's go out to the phones and get some of your guys' thoughts. Scotty's in Concord. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, I think this is a good move. I think that it puts Kevin Stefanski back where he is the best running the offense, with a guy he can work with, just like he did with Alex Van Pelt. And the bottom line, I know we all want to get some flashy big name in there, but this is addition by subtraction, like Marty Schottenheimer famously said. You got rid of Ken Dorsey. He was the problem. In addition to the quarterback, of course. But Ken Dorsey's gone, so I think we're in better shape right now.
Yeah, hey, Scotty, I appreciate the call. I don't know that – so I was not very fond of Ken when he was here, right? I don't think that the offense really hummed under him. I don't know that he had the greatest weapons to work with either. But, yeah, like it wasn't great. It's just – is it really addition by subtraction? You already knew Ken was gone. They had a chance to hire anybody. For me, addition by subtraction was the firing of Ken Dorsey. Hiring Tommy Reese is a different part of that equation. You are then adding a guy in the mix, and I agree with you. I think this probably does end up being the full Kevin Stefanski offense, but anything could end up being the Stefanski offense. It doesn't matter who you hire, right? You could go get Clint Kubiak. You could have brought back Ken Dorsey for another year and said, listen, Ken, everything that you did to try to renovate this offense and, you know, the mesh between him and Deshaun, yeah, we're throwing that out the window. I'm taking play calling back. We're going to run my offense, and nothing gets added to this playbook until I say it does. Like, he could have done that with Ken Dorsey. He could have done that with any other OC. I don't think it had to be a Tommy Reese type, although I agree with you, probably easier to get it done in that scenario with Tommy than it is a bigger name like a Clint Kubiak, like a Ken Dorsey in that scenario, even though I don't think Ken's the most massive name in the world. But He's previously been an offensive coordinator already at the NFL level. All right, let's go back out to the phones. Mike and Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. You know, it's our typical offseason. You know, what are we going to do? What about the draft and everything? You know, God, I didn't think we were going to be here when I was thinking about 3 or 4 years ago. You know, I just really didn't think so. You know, it's not the way the plan was supposed to work, which will get me to my answer. So I think this is definitely, you know, Andrew and Kevin digging in saying, you know, we got to make our last stand. You know, we got to take more responsibility back. You know, Dorsey just got kicked under the bus. Nothing good could come from it. It was terrible. You know, so this is the one thing I want to ask your opinion on, though, is, you know, I really think, you know, he wants control of it because he realizes he's kind of up against it now. Because with the new stadium coming, they're not going to, you know, the Haslams eventually cannot continue to put up with this as much as everybody wants to talk about continuity is a good thing. You know, not 3-13 continuity or 14 continuity. That's terrible. So what I want to know is this. I really hope that they, because I'm not sold on either of the two quarterbacks, that would be there at 2. And yeah. I think the value of trading down is exactly what we need. I just hope that it's exactly what they do because I don't trust Andrew to take one and make the right call. And I don't really trust Stefanski to mold him into something amazing right off the get. So I just want to see him kick that capital 1 year later. You know, that way when these guys don't get it done next year, we have that for the new regime coming in, much like they had when they came in, which was a boatload of stuff. Have a good night. Just curious what you think on that.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike. I think trading down is one thing, and here's the thing with Andrew Berry, right? If you're not going to trust him to take the quarterback and you're not going to trust Kevin to mold that quarterback into something, what makes you think he's going to get anything else right? If you trade down and you want an offensive tackle, what makes you think that Andrew's nailing the offensive tackle? What makes you think that he's taking the defensive end to be the running partner with Myles Garrett, the correct running back throughout the draft? The reality is Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are here. They're going to be here through next year, so you can either trust them or not. They're making the picks. I don't think you should make a decision based on, well, I don't trust Andrew to identify the right guy. If you tell me you want to trade down, that's one thing. I can live with that. I don't agree with you. I would probably take the quarterback at 2 if you assessed one and found one that you actually thought could be the difference maker. No matter what, I'd be drafting that guy. But I can live with you saying you want to trade down. But you can't tell me it's because you don't trust Andrew to make the right pick. Because if he can't make it at 2, there's no reason that he can make it at 6, 10, 15, 32, 64. It's never going to make the difference. It's always going to be you never trust Andrew to make the pick. And at that point, you're just telling me you don't trust the guy. And the reality and wake-up call is here. You have to. Right? He's in the building. You don't have to like it, but he is going to be making the picks. And that's the reality you're in. Chris, you're next up on the fan. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jake.
Yeah, of course.
Two quick things. First of all, they like Tommy Reese in the building.
Yep.
So they needed to give him an upgrade in his title so he didn't go anywhere else. And this was all about Stefanski taking over the offensive coordinator. They didn't bring any of those other guys in because all those other guys would have wanted to actually be an offensive coordinator. They keep Reese. They promote him. They give him the name. He's an assistant to Stefanski. Kevin takes back over the play calls and hopefully excels in the offense. What the Browns need to do is to find a team like the Giants that are as dumb as we are, trade down with them, sell to anyone in the NFL that'll listen that we're going to take a quarterback at the second pick because Tennessee is probably going to take, not for sure, but probably going to take Cam Ward at number one. If they don't, then it's even funnier because then we can trade down with a team that's going to be terrible next year. They can have Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, which I'm not sold on either one of them. I think both of them are going to be Akili Smith 2.0. Get a high round draft pick because whoever we trade down with is also terrible and is going to have a high draft pick the year after. Trade down, pick up that defensive end from Penn State or the kid from Georgia. Get an extra draft pick. Get a couple offensive linemen in the second round. Build up the team. Sign a free agent quarterback, whether it's Trey Lance or the kid that just lost from Minnesota, someone like that as a two-year contract. You draft a quarterback next year, you build up your offensive and defensive lines this year, and then you sell to Myles Garrett, look, we just 1 year, we got a bridge quarterback this year, Next year, we got the rookie coming in. We got your defensive help on the defensive line. You're going to excel this year, and then you move forward and you go from there.
Chris, I like the idea. I like how well thought out you have it, and I like the call. I just don't know that if you're the Browns, you can play this sort of two-year game. Right? Because that's what you're saying. You're going to get a bridge quarterback, which very well might not work out based on who's here. Right? It's sort of a toss-up as it is. The Browns would have to be okay giving Kevin Stefanski an extra year or changing regimes after that. It gets to be a little bit of a tight spot. In terms of Tommy Rees, I think, yes, you like him in the building. Just fine. Nothing here is a personal attack at Tommy Rees. I can only tell so much what my tight ends coach is doing. It's more so that, okay, you like him. It's not like he was being interviewed for a bunch of offensive coordinator jobs. Nobody else is bringing him in and requesting that you could have Tommy Rees in for an interview. Like, you didn't have to do it to keep him. Could have done it, just left him where he was and gotten somebody else. Brought anybody else in the building. I think it's more to the fact of, like you were saying, it's probably just Kevin wanting to take over the offense and Tommy was fine just getting a title upgrade. But I think a lot of guys would be okay with that too. Especially with Kevin Stefanski and the way that his offenses have been run. And when they've been running his offense and actually successful. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to Todd. What's going on, Todd?
So, yeah, I'm with it. I think it doesn't matter that much that they pick within the franchise for the new offensive coordinator, because I saw the same thing that you saw this season. The Browns led the league for a long time this season in drop passes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really blame the offensive coordinator for drop passes. Okay.
Right.
And in addition to that, the offensive line injured heavily, was pushed around a lot. And I don't know how many yards the Browns were lost this year, but I'm sure amongst all the teams in the league, the Browns led in somewhere in the top 10 of lost yards. You know, sacks, that's lost yards. Your lineman getting pushed backward, somebody gets the handoff and they don't get to the scrimmage line, that's lost yards. You can't put that on the offensive coordinator, you know. And then there's a couple other things as far as the quarterback goes that I don't need to get into because we've talked about it ad nauseum. I feel like the problem here is they just need to improve the depth of the team and the starters of the team. And this is not an offensive coordinator blame here. So, fine. They picked somebody within in the franchise. So what? They're not going to get the pick wrong this year. They are going to draft back, and they are going to make a deal for somebody that I just don't want to say it again because I don't want people to hear me talking about that we need to just accept we got to trade Miles. We don't need to talk about that. So, but where are they on lost yards as far as ranking in the league? Because I'm sure they're up there or down there, however that works out. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, Todd, always appreciate the call. I don't know exactly where they rank within that. I can't imagine it's very great in the NFL. Can't imagine you're among the top. But, yeah, like it is to a degree. Like, yes, I don't blame the offensive coordinator. It's not Ken Dorsey's fault that the wide receiver group was dropping passes. I can't blame him for David Njoku's lack of production. Can't blame him for the offensive line being injured and beginning to struggle. There's other places to place blame for that. At some point, you have to put it on the player. Like, I also, somewhere, does Ken Dorsey come into that equation? He's not just void of everything. You're also the coach trying to put him there. Like, yeah, if is going Tommy Rees compared to Ken Dorsey going to make all the difference in the world going into next year? The genuine question is, I don't know. It could. It could be the entirety of the change that you need to see. This could go back to Kevin Stefanski's offense, and Tommy Rees could be the guy dropping in the nuggets to liven this offense up and tune it to be exactly what it needs to be based on what quarterback that they bring in. I just don't know whether or not young quarterback or young offensive coordinator in this scenario means, hey, this is just a more innovative offense. And, you know, it is going to be this thought pairing like there was between Ken and Kevin, Obviously, not tailored to Deshaun, but just a different version of, hey, we take a little bit of what you have, a little bit of what I have, and we mesh these things together and try to make it work, or whether or not it's just Tommy in there taking a backseat to Kevin, and it is what it appears to be, which is a title upgrade. A title upgrade with Kevin Stefanski basically being your offensive coordinator. 216-474-0092. Coming up in about 5 minutes, quarterback big board. We had Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe to the mix. We'll see where he falls and get to more of your calls as well at 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here up until 11. Daryl Ryder coming up at 8 o'clock, and we're right here on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys. It's 7:40, and it's the same as it is for the last, I don't know, what are we up to? Four shows? Five shows that this is the way that it's been? That we now go to our quarterback big board, and we add another name to the list. Today's quarterback being added is none other than Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, which gets really interesting today. Gets really interesting today with Tommy Rees being promoted. We'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, this is quarterback number five going onto the board. And after sitting down watching Jalen Milroe, we have some things to break down. If you don't know how the quarterback big board works, basically every single show we add a quarterback to the list. Doesn't matter if he's a rookie, doesn't matter if he's a veteran. It is just guys that I want to play for the Cleveland Browns next year. And the list you can find on my social media on X, at Volnick Jake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C Jake, and we'll have the updated one with Jalen Milroe posted at some point during the break here coming up in, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes before we get to Daryl Ryder coming up at 8 o'clock. Let's start with what I liked from Jalen Milroe, because in all honesty, the list is going to be the shorter version, right? We've already done Shador. We've already done Cam Ward. Shocker, I don't know if it would come to a shock to anybody, but Jalen Milroe, not in that same category for me. I do think the positive things that you get out of Milroe is that he is an explosive playmaker, right? The guy can make plays with his legs, and he's probably the best running quarterback in college football right now. I mean, the dude's got a jetpack on. Every time he takes off, you know that it's going to be, one, hard to catch him and actually cut him off and get the angle, but two, also hard to bring him down. He's got the same frame as Jalen Hurts. Like, they're nearly identical. He's not a small runner. He's a guy that if he needs to, can lower his shoulders, but he's also elusive. I think he looks really good every single time he tucks the ball and runs it. I also think he has a strong arm. Right, it is a powerful arm. A lot of darts that he throws. It's a lot of line drive type passes, and they get in there quick. He's got zip to the football, and he can make, if you're looking for an NFL throw, he's capable of making that throw every single time. He can, any throw that you want to point to, he can make those. The problem with Jalen Milroe is that's about where the positive list ends for me. It's really high upside for him, but I think it's a long way to come. He tends to make a lot of quick decisions, almost predetermined decisions when he decides to throw the football. I know there was an interception against Oklahoma specifically that pops into my mind when I was watching that he went to go throw it into the flat and just did not read the defense at all. And the flat coverage defender was just essentially standing there in the wings waiting for it. Like, he just made no read on the defense at all. It wasn't even as if he didn't see him. It was a three-step drop, plants the third foot, and immediately fires without even looking to the outside. He makes these quick decisions, and whether or not that's built into Alabama's defense or a problem for Milroe, I can't exactly tell, but all I can look at is what happens with the quarterback. He's also wildly inaccurate. He's a guy that every time you see him, it feels like you could watch him take the same throw and attempt to make it five straight times, and each of the five throws are going to look drastically different than the one before it. Two of them might be on the money, and then one's going to be high, one's going to be behind him, and the other one's going to be at his feet. There is not a lot of consistency in the way that he throws the football, even when it's not he struggles at one type of throw. It is just the consistency of making the same throw over and over again. Right? And that's like Tom Brady made a career off of throwing a slant route, okay? And I'm not saying he's a merchant. He's the best quarterback to ever play the game. But especially early in his career, he made a career of throwing the slant route, a timing route that he was consistent in and delivered it there every single time. It's what allowed him to open up the rest of his game because that was always there to a degree. And that's not the case with Milroe. He's never consistently there, never making that same thing, the same type of throw. And it's a massive negative in his game. I think he also tends to leave the pocket a little bit too quickly when plays start to break down. If you want somebody trying to make up for it, it's probably going to be him. Also, he just tries to do that too often, walks himself into some sacks, and he's a little bit too dependent on his legs, which is not a great thing to be as a quarterback, especially for the Browns, which we'll get into here in a minute, because I also think the bigger knock on him is that in some of their biggest games, their bowl game, a couple of their last games down the stretch of the season where Alabama gets left out of the college football playoffs, it's largely because the offense sort of went where Jalen Milroe went. Right? It was entirely dependent on the type of play that Jalen Milroe gave you, which goes back to the fact that he was wildly inaccurate, but it also leans on the fact that in these big games, when the pressure was on this last season, he crumbled. Right? The bowl game is a perfect example. He decided to go out, play against Michigan, and they end up losing that game to a 6-6 Michigan team while playing with his top wide receiver, a freshman wide receiver who is considered coming into the year almost on par with Jeremiah Smith. Now, I'll tell you that's not the case. He's, I'm going to say, definitely worse, but he had an incredible year. But Milroe didn't play well, even with his top target out there, and you got to show up in that scenario. You have to show up. You are the quarterback playing in the biggest moments. I need you to be there. So again, I feel like a lot of the weaknesses outweigh the positives when you talk about him. When you talk about his fit in the Kevin Stefanski offense, which is, I think, the bigger piece of this equation, not a fit. Right? This is a quarterback who likes to sit in shotgun, assess what he has under him or in front of him, and then make plays off of that. All right, he's run a little bit of play action. It's not that they never go under center at Alabama. They do. But again, when you rely on the run, it's not a Kevin Stefanski quarterback. Your fit in the system are guys who look to go play action, drop back, and are going to be accurate passers. Again, Jalen Milroe, an inconsistent, inaccurate passer. I don't think that he'd be a good fit with Kevin Stefanski. If you're looking for sort of the NFL draft comparison with him, again, I think it's sort of in a way where Jalen Hurts meets Lamar Jackson, on the ground at least, where he has Jalen's frame, and obviously the Alabama tie helps there, but it's a little bit more explosive, a little bit more dynamic in the way that he runs the football. He can make you miss like Lamar, which, again, is high praise. Like, I don't think that Jalen Milroe is a bad quarterback, but he's going to be a developmental project. That's the thing that the Browns can't afford to do. If you're the Browns and you're making a pick at quarterback, you cannot afford to have a guy have to sit 2 to 3 years and become that better passer and be able to improve on it and be willing to go through the struggles of the seasons where you have to start him while trying to develop him. You know, whether that's one season, two season, until he gets to the level that you want him to be at. The Browns don't have that time. You need to be good, I mean now, but you also need to be good within the next 2 to 3 years. Like, if Kevin Stefanski's going to have his job, if Andrew Berry's going to have his job, the Browns need to win in 2025. Jalen Milroe's not the quarterback that gets you there. Right, and if you're talking about draft Brady, he's a guy that's probably going to fall towards the end of the first round, might slip up to the middle, might drop into the early second. Wherever he ends up going, it will somewhere be in that range. So the Browns are either using their second round pick on him or having to trade assets around in order to get him. It just does not fall into their lap. I also think what you're looking at here is if you take Jalen Milroe, you're going to have to completely revamp the way that your offense is run. Kevin Stefanski's offense is not going to be the ideal scenario for Milroe to walk into. He's going to have to completely overhaul it, get a lot more run packages in there for his quarterback. You're going to have to work with probably a lot more read option just because that's going to be a strength for you. And you're going to have to dumb down a lot of the throws. It's going to have to be a lot of short stuff and a lot of easy checkdowns to get your offense working. I don't think that's what the Browns and Browns fans want to see happen in this scenario. I don't think you're willing to watch that type of football. I don't think you want to go through multiple years of disastrous quarterback play, which leaves you with Jalen Milroe. Even if he's going to turn into something, it's not going to be the immediate turnaround. You are going to be waiting. You're going to be waiting on a little bit of development before he actually becomes a quality NFL quarterback. And the Browns just aren't in the position to do it. I think when you look at guys like Cam Ward, when you look at guys like Shador Sanders, they are more NFL ready. And they can walk into a system and begin to succeed in that first year. And they're set up with the tools to do that. Jalen Milroe does not do that for me, which is why when we talk quarterback big board and where he falls, he's falling at the very bottom right now, which is quarterback number 5. He falls below Kirk Cousins, Cam Ward, Justin Fields, Shador Sanders. Every single guy above that, I would feel more comfortable with the Browns having there and leading their offense. And honestly, there's probably guys who draft picked-wise are going to be below Jalen Milroe who I'm going to feel more confident in. There's already names that I can pull to the top of my head. You're going to have to wait and see on that, right? Don't want to spoil any of the quarterback big board. But there's already names in my head that I know that are in this draft that without watching the tape, I can take a pretty good estimate that they're going to fall higher on this list than Milroe will. Just because, again, not a fit with Stefanski. And it's too much of a developmental project for the Browns to even consider and trying to make this thing work. So he will fall at 5. I'm sure he'll fall farther down that list because I was not a fan of the tape. I saw a lot of running upside, not a whole lot of passing upside. And that's something that I don't think works as a Cleveland Brown in their current scenario. All right. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Daryl Reuter. We'll get his thoughts on Tommy Rees as the new offensive coordinator, as well about things going down with the city of Cleveland and the Browns, and a little something called the Art Modell Law. Daryl goes the latest on all of that, as well. We'll have, with Tommy Rees as the offensive coordinator, let this guy a little bit back into the mix to become the Browns quarterback. We'll do that, and you can get in 216-474-0092. Daryl Reuter at 8. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!